Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Frederick Bell on the line, and he is CEO over at Elemental Royalties. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hi, Adam. Great to be here.
All right, Fred. So great topic we have today. So protecting your wealth against inflation, and we'll talk about different ways that that you're working on that. But before we get into that, so Fred, our mission at Mission Matters is really to amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Fred, what mission matters to you?
I think in the business context, the way we started was to give investors, ordinary people, a better way to get exposure to gold. And that might sound odd to people who don't know it, but having been in the mining industry, it's a very specialist industry, and you need to know a lot of the specifics about projects, countries, and companies. And for us, we thought we could set up a royalty company that gave investors a really diversified way to get leveraged exposure to gold. And that was really, I think, the mission and the foundation behind Elemental.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that. And let's just dive right into the rest of the interview. So Elemental Royalties. So first off, tell us a little bit more about the company.
So we listed last year in Canada on the TSXV, but we were a private company for 3 years, and we did a number of fundraising rounds for that from around 2017. And our main focus is buying, acquiring gold royalties. And always say, for those who are wondering what is a royalty, what's a gold royalty, the best analogy I can give is it's like a music royalty. Every time you hear a song on the radio, the singer will have a 1% royalty, which is 1% of revenue. The artist, the person who wrote it, might have a royalty of 1%. And so every time that song is played, you get paid. And in the mining world, a royalty is very similar. If there are 10 mines operating around the world, every time they produce a bar of gold, we will get 1% of the revenue from that. And we never have to pay for it again. We don't get diluted. If that mine operates for 50 years, we get paid for 50 years. And so you can very quickly get royalties on lots of different projects in different countries and different companies. And it gives you a really diversified, low-risk way to get exposure to gold. But it's a much better way than just holding the physical gold, because you get leveraged exposure to it. If these assets keep discovering new ounces and new bars of gold being produced, you get ongoing exposure to that at no cost. And it's why the royalty model has been so successful. And so for us starting up this company, we saw it as a way to jump on a part of the mining industry that's gone from a $5 billion industry maybe 15 years ago to a $50, $60 billion industry now. So it's a really fast growing segment of the mining space, and we're focused on gold royalties.
So you mentioned it briefly, but I want you to just go a little bit further. So in terms of you talked about the royalty model, but for those that are listening, maybe that have only known a little bit more or have been curious about gold, maybe they were looking more at the traditional gold investment model. Can you talk a little bit more about that, just so they can really get the nuances of the royalty model versus traditional gold investment?
Absolutely. And I think one of the, maybe even take it a step further back and say, why are we looking at gold in the first place? And I think the fundamental reason is that governments today are printing more money than they have ever printed before. And I'm calling in from London in the UK today. And if I took the UK as an example, but Europe, the US, Japan, it's no different. The UK has run a budget deficit for 18 of the last 20 years. And what I mean by that is the government has borrowed money for 18 of the last 20 years. And when they did run a surplus, they ran as quickly as they could to spend it and then borrow some more. And so lately, Corona's been the last excuse, but the GFC before it, governments have bought into monetary theory that you can now print money to pay your debts. And anyone who's a student of history, and I studied history when I was at university, they knew that that is not a sustainable way to manage a budget. You wouldn't do it on a personal level. You wouldn't borrow more money every year. You wouldn't do it as a government in a country. And I think, you know, the slow creep of inflation eats away at savers, and it eats away at those who do have assets and do have wealth. And so gold has, for a long time, thousands of years, it has been the preeminent and the best way to protect yourself against inflation and protect your wealth. And gold, holding a physical gold bar is one way to do that. But actually, one way that has consistently over the last really 15 years delivered better returns than that is gold royalty companies. And I'm not even just talking about my company here, Elemental. There are some very big ones that are listed that have delivered, well, you'd call them almost Warren Buffett-esque returns over the last 15, 20 years. And the reason is because it's a very good business model. You don't have to operate any of these assets. And if you buy a royalty on a mine that has 10-year mine life in Nevada in the US, which is a large gold producing region, that mine might turn out producing gold for 50 years instead of 10. And you get 1% of the gold from that forever. And if the gold price goes up because currencies are being devalued, then they can mine more and more because it's more and more economic. And so you get this leveraged exposure to gold and optionality on future discoveries, optionality on technology improvements, optionality on the price of gold. And you get all of that in a business model that don't have to run anything. And so the biggest gold royalty company in the world, I think they have the second highest revenue to employee multiple of any company in any industry. So they have 30 employees and they're a $30 billion company. And that's really why the royalty model has grown so much over the last 10, 15 years. And that's why it's, I think, also been able to deliver such good returns. And in the current global, I think, economic environment, where governments are, you know, I think all buying into the theory that if you can print more money and, carry on, I think, you know, that suits gold investments. And for people who don't know, and if I hadn't fallen into the mining industry years ago, I might not have known. I think gold royalties is a really good way to get some exposure to that. And doesn't have to be all of it, but, you know, even a small part of exposure to gold royalty companies, and you can have a basket of them as well, I think makes a lot of sense for people.
Okay, so we've covered the you know, the industry, obviously the commodity. We've covered some of the model side of things. Let's talk a little bit more about, you mentioned there's some big players in the space, and the difference between maybe, you know, investing in the larger players or working with small cap companies. Like, can you kind of juxtapose those two for us and tell us, like, what that looks like?
Yeah, and it's really the one of the, I think, the disadvantages is that the big royalty companies in gold have been so successful, the success has created their biggest obstacle, which is they're now $20 and $30 billion companies, and it's hard to keep that growth rate up. Whereas for a company like ours, we started off as $1 million startup 3 or 4 years ago, and we're now $100 million company, and we've doubled our revenue year on year. We've increased our share price more than 4 times since we started, and we've raised money at a higher price every time. And I think what you can get with a smaller royalty company like us is you have the diversified revenue, And you have the downside protection and the exposure to gold, but you also, very importantly, you have that ability to grow. And there are not many royalty companies out there, not many gold royalty companies out there. And actually, it's not often that you get the opportunity, I think, to come in at an early stage of a gold royalty company in a business model that has been very successful. And I think we are replicating that. And we've done it successfully with a very good track record to date. So I think that's the biggest advantage that we have.
Yeah, that's great. And I remember, I was always a fan of like Buffett's letters and everything like that. And I can't remember when or how. Yeah. I read them all, essentially in my entire career. I know I've read it. Well, I can't say the last couple of years, but before that, there's a big book. And I remember at a certain point him saying, like, if you're looking for that small cap type growth, if you're looking for this or that, like, you're not getting it. Like, we can't, like, we're a huge company now. Berkshire Hathaway is huge. Like, and obviously his words are better than mine, but he's saying we're a huge company. Like, you can't expect, yeah. Like, there's only so many places we can put this money to get the type of return we had before, like it's just not going to happen. So you're right, as a company grows and hits those different stages, and you know, after Elemental Royalties is in that large cap space or that bigger space, then you're going to be a victim of it too. But you, as you said, or a victim or a benefit, I should say, to your investors that stuck with you from the beginning. I mean, that's a big deal. But it's exactly what you said, and that's just kind of the life cycle of a company that starts off, you know, and,
exactly.
And then as they get bigger, that's the way it works. Go ahead.
As I was going to say, it's, you're exactly right, and one of the really interesting features, I think, about us is people don't often associate mining or gold with technology. But actually, if you look at our company, I'm based in London. We listed the company last year during COVID in Canada.
Wow.
Some of our directors are in Vancouver, some are in Australia. The board have never sat in the same room. We haven't met most of our institutional shareholders. One of the people who joined the team, sort of core person last year, was in the office for sort of 2 weeks before we all went home in lockdown. Someone who joined in November had 2 days in the office before we again went into lockdown. So it's incredible how this company Elemental, it could not have been built and it could not have survived even 10 years ago. It just wouldn't have been possible. But now, I think, wonders of technology, we have been able to navigate biggest acquisition in our history, I think listing the company, and all of this. We've been able to do it from our living room. In some cases, you know, members of the team never having worked together or even met each other in person. And the same goes for investors. And it's just, I think it empowers you because this is something that 20 years ago, you said, we have royalties in 5 different countries with different mining companies, with different tax codes. Yeah, it would just be far too difficult. But the modern, the modern world, it opens the door and it allows a startup company like us to compete and to grow in an arena where actually, you know, it's very difficult for small companies to do it because cross-border royalties and tax is not straightforward. And how you find royalties and negotiate with people across the world when you're all talking from your living room is, you know, a challenge in and of itself. So it's been really interesting there to see how, even in the last year, I think the sort of the market's evolved and the world's changed so quickly.
Awesome. So you mentioned when you went through one of your largest acquisitions. Tell us a little bit more about the value acquisition model and like why this has contributed so much to your success.
Well, I think we sort of say the value acquisition model. It's as much a reminder for ourselves every day as it is external, and it's a reminder that ultimately, we live in a world where you have access to information 24/7. I can go online and I can read 100 opinions about the latest football game in 10 minutes from people all over the world. And, it's very easy to be swayed in the short term by opinion. But what you've got to do is you've got to keep your eye on the long term and you've got to think, you know, in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, where is the value going to come from? How are we going to deliver that? And I think we have been really selective in the acquisitions we have made to date. I think part of the reason we have been successful is because we've always had a real laser focus on value. and on making sure that we buy into royalties that are going to deliver that for us going forward. And that requires a technical understanding. It requires a view on gold and the gold price, which I think has been positive as well over the last few years. But I think all of this feeds into, I think, what it has taken to build a royalty company from a genuine startup, wherein our first deal was $2 million and we had to give half of it away just to get the company up and off the ground. And the last deal we did was with a $10 billion plus company for a $55 million portfolio. And so it really shows, you know, how much that's changed. But the one constant throughout it has been a focus on value. And that's, I think that's has been and always will be a core part of the company.
Oh, that's awesome. So, Fred, if somebody's listening to this right now and they want to learn more about Elemental Royalties and they want to connect with you and your team and follow this journey, I mean, what's the best way for people to do that?
I would say if you go on our website, elementalroyalties.com, that's all one word, www.elementalroyalties.com. I think you can get from there to our Twitter account, and you can follow our announcements and progress. And I think one thing that we have been trying to do recently, that I'm sure a lot of companies are, is been trying to get more interviews, video, media online. So even if people can't meet us, they can get a much better feel behind the people and the company and the story. Because I think, you know, for anyone looking at something, you want to understand who the people are and what drives them and how motivated are they, and are they going to be in the office at 3 a.m. on a Friday night looking at the next royalty deal? And so I think, yeah, we're constantly adding now to the website and media, and always, you know, for anyone who is interested, feel free to reach out, and we'd be more than happy to speak to you.
Fantastic. Well, Fred, really appreciate you coming on the show today and share more about your background and really your mission to help your investors and to provide value and to really provide protection against inflation and just opportunity. So I love it. I love to see somebody out there ambitious building a company and providing value. So thank you for coming on the show, sharing your mission. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. I sure did. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We definitely want you to be a return listener or viewer if you're on our YouTube channel. And Fred, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Great chat, and thank you for having us on.